Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we cut through the noise and get straight to the insights you need. In our increasingly connected world, data is, well, it's everywhere. But the real challenge isn't just collecting it, is it?
Not at all. It's making sense of it, especially in really critical sectors like energy.
Exactly. Think about a transmission system operator, a TSO, like EnergyNet. The sheer volume of information flowing through them must be staggering.
Oh, absolutely. You've got vast grid models, real-time sensor readings, market prices changing constantly. It's a real ocean of data.
So today, we're taking a deep dive into how TSOs can actually organize this colossal amount of data, how they can really leverage the power of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, how to make that data truly work for them.
Our mission. We're unpacking a pretty comprehensive report detailing best practices for exactly that. Data organization, focusing on, AI compatibility, interpretability, and crucially, compliance with European standards.
Which is non-negotiable, really.
Yeah. We're here to cut through the jargon, pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge, and give you, our listener, a clear roadmap.
Hopefully, yeah. Helping you understand the foundational steps TSOs need to take to become, well, AI ready and future-proof their operations.
And we'll uncover some surprising implications for you, whether you're managing data, building AI, or maybe you're just curious about the future of energy.
Okay, let's get stuck in. We're talking about massive amounts of data, as you said, grid models, market prices, real-time sensor readings. Why is simply collecting it not enough? Why do TSOs need this common language for their data?
Well, the critical point here is that without a common language, different systems, different organizations, they just can't understand or exchange data seamlessly. It sounds simple, but it's a huge barrier.
Right, it creates silos.
Exactly, silos. And that
Yeah.
makes innovation slow, it makes it costly, and frankly, it's just incredibly frustrating for the people involved.
So what's the answer?
The source really emphasizes industry standard data models as foundational, and specifically mentions the Common Information Model, or CIM. CIM. Okay, so CIM is kind of the Rosetta Stone for energy data. Is that a fair way to put it?
That's a great analogy, actually. It truly is. CIM is an IEC standard, and it provides what's called a unified ontology.
Ontology. Okay, break that down a bit.
Think of it like a shared dictionary, but not just for words, for concepts. It defines what a transformer is, what it does, how it connects to a substation, all its properties, you know. It's like building a shared mental model for machines and humans alike.
Ah, so everyone's on the exact same page. Down to the details.
Precisely. And ENTSO-E, that's the European network of TSOs, they've been really crucial in integrating TSO requirements into CIM since way back in 2009.
That makes incredible sense. So with this shared mental model, how does CIM actually apply to the different types of data a TSO handles? Let's start with grid models, the equipment, the topology.
Right. For network data, TSOs use CIM-based schemas. Specifically, the Common Grid Model Exchange Specification, or CGMS, that's built directly on CIM.
CGMS.
Okay. And what's crucial here is that ENTSO-E actually mandates CGMS for building the Pan-European Common Grid Model. This huge model supports critical analyses across borders, things like load flow, capacity allocation.
So here at TSO.
If you're a TSO, your internal systems must produce and consume CGMES compliant data. Otherwise, you can't really play ball in that larger European grid picture. Simple as that.
Makes sense. What about market and energy trading data? That feels like a totally different beast. How does CIM handle
It
that?
does handle it, yeah. CIM has specific extensions. It's the IEC 62325 series, and these define schemas for market processes. Think capacity auctions, settlements, things like that.
So it bridges the gap.
It bridges the gap. It aligns a TSO's market systems with the wider European market communications and ENTSO-E's own transparency platform. It just makes exchanging trading and balancing data much, much smoother, avoids everyone using their own weird formats.
And the last one then, real-time and sensor data. That often comes from different manufacturers using proprietary formats, doesn't it? How does CIM bring order there?
You're absolutely right. The field devices might use proprietary formats, but the best practice, the recommendation, is to map and store that operational data, SCADA measurements, IoT sensors, PMU data in a structure that's consistent with CIM.
Okay, so you map it, but what's the real win there?
The true power, the aha moment, is contextualizing that sensor data, tying it back to specific assets and locations in the CIM model using unique IDs like EIC codes.
Ah, I see. So you know where the data came from.
Exactly. So your AI tools can easily connect, say, an anomaly in a sensor, reading maybe an unexpected temperature spike directly to the asset's attributes in the overall grid model. Hmm. It instantly tells you which specific transformer on which specific line is showing a potential problem. That context is vital. Now, with all these diverse data types potentially standardized, the next really big challenge is, okay, how do you tie them all together? How do you get that truly unified, holistic view?
Right. So we're moving beyond just standardizing files. We're talking about creating kind of single source of truth with something like a knowledge graph. Is that what does that actually let you do?
Yeah, precisely that. Organizing all this diverse TSO data grid models, market prices, weather forecasts, sensor readings within a knowledge graph, which is backed by that CIM ontology we discussed, well, it massively enhances integration and discoverability.
How so?
It semantically links entities by the relationships. So it's not just about standardizing files, like you said, but standardizing the relationships between the data points.
Okay, relationships. That sounds key.
It is. OntoText, they're a semantic tech provider. They note this semantic layer helps avoid just having plain disconnected data. Instead, it makes the data contextualized, ready for much deeper insights.
That seems like a much smarter way to connect the dots across the whole system. What's a practical difference for an AI model using this kind of graph versus just a bunch of standard files?
Oh, the difference is huge. It future-proofs the data for new AI tools. They can query using standard interfaces like SparkleWell or GraphQL instead of needing custom code written every time you want to connect a new data source or ask a new question.
So it's like giving the AI a complete interconnected map.
Exactly. A map of the entire energy system, not just individual street signs scattered about. And actually, the EU's blueprint for a common European energy data space, SEEDS, it explicitly recommends using semantic vocabularies like IEC, CIM, to enable exactly this kind of secure, meaningful data sharing across Europe.
So the big picture here for you, our listener, is that adopting these standards across all your data domains, grid, market, sensor, creates this structured, well-described, unified data foundation. And that's absolutely essential if you want new analytics and AI technologies to deliver real value. Okay, we've laid the foundation with common data standards, CIM, CGMES, knowledge graphs. But simply having a lot of structured data, even linked data, isn't quite enough for AI to really work its magic, is it?
No, you're right. It's a great start, but not the whole story.
So how do TSOs make sure this data is actually usable and, maybe more importantly, trustworthy for machine learning?
Yeah, that's a critical point. The focus really shifts here. It's about making the data high quality, making sure it's well described, easily accessible, and crucially, ensuring that the AI results you get are explainable, not just a black box.
Okay, explainable AI. That's huge. But where do TSOs even begin with that? It sounds like a monumental task.
Well, the first absolutely non-negotiable step is data quality and cleansing. You have to implement validation rules, figure out how to handle missing values properly, establish processes for ongoing monitoring.
To avoid garbage in, garbage out.
Precisely. That old adage is truer than ever with AI. Skipping this step means you'll spend enormous effort later trying to debug models that are learning from flawed, noisy information. Mm. You know, it's like building a house. If that foundation data is shaky, your AI models are just going to be unreliable, maybe even dangerous.
I can absolutely imagine. So beyond just clean data, how do TSOs make sure their data scientists can actually find what they need and understand what they're looking at in this vast data landscape?
That's where rich metadata and cataloging become essential. Every single data set needs metadata. It needs to describe its contents, its schema or structure, where it came from, its business meaning.
Like a detailed label.
Exactly. Without it, large data lakes just become these noisy, unusable swamps. It makes, as the source notes, management and analysis complex and time-consuming. A good data catalog, maybe integrated with that knowledge graph we talked about, lets analysts easily find the right data and understand its context, its lineage, where it's been. That dramatically improves interpretability later on.
So a clear label and an instruction manual for every piece of data, basically.
That's a good way to think about it, yes. And this also leads directly to semantic consistency for interpretability.
Meaning everyone speaks the same technical dialect.
Exactly. Using common definitions and ontologies, like those CIM terms again, ensures there's a shared vocabulary. A common understanding between the domain experts, the engineers who really know the grid, and the data scientists building the AI models.
Why is that so vital?
It's vital because it makes the AI model outputs trustworthy and understandable. You avoid that situation where the AI flags anomaly X and the engineer scratches their head, having no clue what X actually refers to in the real-world physical grid.
Right, that connection needs to be clear. So how do TSOs specifically prepare their data for the actual training of these powerful AI models?
That gets into feature engineering and data preparation. Imagine your raw sensor data is just a stream of numbers. Feature engineering is like an expert chef transforming raw ingredients into perfectly prepped components ready for a recipe.
Okay, give me an example.
We might take raw temperature readings, for instance, and engineer a new feature, like rate of temperature change over the last hour. That engineered feature is often far more useful for an AI trying to spot potential equipment failures than the raw numbers alone.
I see. So you create more meaningful inputs.
Exactly. And these prepped features are then often stored in dedicated feature stores. Think of them as ready-to-use ingredient pantries for your AI models, indexed by time and location, ready for quick access. This really accelerates the whole process of iterating and building new AI solutions.
This all sounds like a significant amount of groundwork, but clearly essential.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if TSOs try to rush this or skip these crucial steps? What are the pitfalls?
Well, past studies have shown quite clearly that many big data initiatives, not just in energy, falter precisely because they ignore these fundamentals. They often lack proper metadata management, or they overlook security and privacy from the outset.
So the lesson is?
The lesson is clear. Investing time and effort in metadata, security, and privacy by design, right from the start, is absolutely critical. It saves enormous headaches, costs, and potentially failures down the line.
And finally, thinking about AI, it's not just about getting good data in, is it? It's also about understanding what comes out of the model, especially when you're dealing with critical infrastructure.
Absolutely. Data lineage and model interpretability are key. TSOs need to be able to track which specific data went into training which AI models and how those models arrive at their decisions or predictions.
For debugging and trust.
For debugging, yes, but also for trust and accountability. This kind of transparency, which is heavily enabled by having well-structured, well-described data in the first place, is almost certainly going to be mandated by upcoming AI regulations like the EU AI Act.
So the practical implication here for you, the listener, is that investing in solid data organization focusing on quality, context, governance, naturally leads to AI outcomes that are more interpretable, more reliable. And in the energy sector, that translates directly to safer, more efficient operations for everyone.
Okay, so let's assume TSOs have done the hard yards. They've cleaned their data, standardized it using things like CIM, prepared it for AI. Now, the big practical question, how do they actually store and manage all this data at scale? We hear terms like data lakes, data mesh, knowledge graphs. It sounds like a lot of options. Maybe a bit overwhelming. It can seem that way, yeah. But if we connect this back to the bigger picture, TSOs really need an architecture that finds the right balance, a balance between centralization for efficiency and domain-specific knowledge for expertise. Usually, a hybrid approach ends up being the most optimal. No single silver bullet fits every need.
Okay, let's break down the options. Let's start with one people might be more familiar with, the data lake. What's its core role in this TSO context?
Right, a central data lake. It's often seen as a foundational repository. It's really good for storing all that raw data, vast amounts of historical time series data, maybe even unstructured stuff like reports or images.
It's main advantage.
It provides a single landing zone. It helps prevent data from being scattered in disconnected silos all over the organization. But, and this is a big but, without proper curation and governance, it can very quickly turn into a data swamp, just a dumping ground where data goes to die.
A data swamp. Not good.
Not good at all. The key, as the source emphasizes, is to impose schema where possible and maintain metadata rigorously. Keep it organized, keep it searchable.
Okay, so a curated data lake. Got it.
Yeah.
What about this idea of a data mesh? It sounds quite different, almost the opposite of a central repository.
It is quite different in philosophy, yes. A domain-oriented data mesh essentially decentralizes data ownership. It treats data as a product.
Data as a product. What does that mean practically?
Instead of a central IT team trying to manage everything, each specific business domain, think grid operations or market operations, takes direct responsibility for publishing and maintaining their data sets in an easily consumable, high-quality way.
So it empowers the experts.
Exactly. It empowers those cross-functional teams who actually understand the data best. It helps them move faster, innovate quicker, and it eliminates those central IT bottlenecks that can slow things down. It's like giving each department its own well-stocked, well-managed data pantry they're responsible for.
So using EnergyNet as an example again, they could have a specific common grid model data product that's managed directly by the grid operations team, the people who are the real experts on that data.
Precisely, that's the idea. But importantly, the data mesh approach also emphasizes having self-service infrastructure platforms and strong global governance, common standards, common tools to ensure everything remains interoperable, even with that decentralized responsibility. It's distributed ownership, but unified access and standards.
That makes sense. But okay, if you have this potentially massive central lake for raw data, and then these decentralized data products living in a mesh, how do these two concepts actually work together without just creating a different kind of chaos? How do you link them?
Ah, that's the crucial question, isn't it? How do you tie them together so they can effectively speak to each other and provide a unified view? That's where the knowledge graph, or sometimes called the data fabric layer, comes back into play.
The knowledge graph again, so it's the integrator.
Exactly. It acts as the glue. Or maybe a better analogy is a smart index or map across all that distributed data. It makes the content buried in the data lake intelligible, and it makes the data products in the mesh discoverable.
How does it do that?
It maps the relationships between things. For example, it can show that substation X described in the grid model data product corresponds to these five specific files of raw sensor data stored over here in the data lake, and also to these entries over there in the separate maintenance database.
Wow. Okay, so it really is a sophisticated, intelligent map for all your data, no matter where it physically lives or which team technically owns it. That sounds incredibly powerful as an integration point.
It really is, and this architecture is increasingly seen as best practice. A knowledge graph can make existing data interlinked and contextualized, as the source puts it. It powers a data fabric that lets users, whether human analysts or AI algorithms, find and combine the data they need, regardless of its physical location or underlying format. It transforms these disparate sources into a cohesive, actionable whole.
So given all these pieces, lake, mesh, graph, what does the source actually suggest as the best overall architecture for a TSO like EnergyNet? Is there a recommendation?
Yes. In practice, what's generally recommended is a hybrid data lakehouse architecture. That's kind of a blend, augmented with those data mesh principles and definitely incorporating the semantic layers provided by the knowledge graph.
Okay, break down that lakehouse hybrid.
It means you'd typically have a cloud-based data lake for the raw, unprocessed data. Then you'd have logical, domain-based data warehouses or data marts, perhaps structured more like the mesh data products for the curated, analysis-ready data. And underpinning it all, a centralized data governance team ensuring standards, quality, and security, with the knowledge graph acting as that unifying semantic layer.
So agility and consistency together.
That's exactly. It aims to provide both the agility of the domain team's managing their products and the consistency needed for enterprise-wide analytics and compliance. And importantly, this kind of setup aligns very well with those broader European data sharing goals we mentioned.
So the big picture here for you, the listener, is that with this kind of hybrid architecture, a TSO can collect all its raw data efficiently, empower its domain experts to manage their crucial data assets, and still maintain a unified, intelligent view across everything. It makes them ready for new AI tools without needing to constantly rework their entire infrastructure. We've covered a lot: data structure, quality, architecture. But let's face it, TSOs operate absolutely critical national infrastructure, and they handle extremely sensitive information. So what's the final, absolutely non-negotiable piece of this puzzle for being AI ready, especially in such a heavily regulated environment?
You've hit it right there. Compliance, privacy, and robust security are absolutely fundamental. This is where the legal and ethical framework surrounding data management really comes into sharp focus for TSOs. It's not just about what you can technically do with the data, but what you must do legally and ethically.
Okay, let's start with privacy then. How does something like GDPR apply to energy data? Some of it might seem purely technical, not personal.
That's a common misconception. Data privacy under GDPR is absolutely vital. For example, think about detailed household energy consumption data from smart meters. When that can be linked back to an individual household or person, it is personal data.
And so
it must be treated with appropriate care, as the source states. TSOs have a legal obligation to anonymize or aggregate this data wherever possible, especially before using it for analysis. They need to implement privacy-enhancing techniques, particularly for any projects looking at smart meter data or maybe EV charging patterns, to ensure individuals cannot be re-identified.
The stakes are high there, right?
Extremely high. The risk isn't just about potential fines, which can be substantial. It's about maintaining public trust, which is paramount for an entity managing critical infrastructure.
Absolutely. And cybersecurity. Given the critical nature of TSO operations, that must be top of mind constantly.
Oh, constantly. As designated critical entities, TSOs fall under regulations like the NIS2 directive in Europe. This mandates really strong cybersecurity controls across the board.
What does that mean in practice for data management?
It means adhering to established standards like ISO IEC 27301 for information security management systems, and for the operational technology side, things like IEC 62351 for securing energy management system communications. In terms of data repositories, it means rigorous role-based access control, strong encryption for data both at rest and in transit, and continuous monitoring for any suspicious activity. The whole emphasis is on security by design.
Building it in from the ground up.
Exactly. Not trying to bolt it on as an afterthought when it's often too late or much harder.
Now, beyond their own internal security, Europe seems to be pushing towards broader data sharing frameworks. We mentioned SEEDS earlier. How does that broader trend impact TSOs and their data strategies?
Yeah, that's a really insightful area. TSOs absolutely need to prepare for these upcoming initiatives like the Data Governance Act, DGA, and the Data Act. These are actively designed to encourage the creation of trusted, secure data spaces.
And the Common European Energy Data Space is one of those.
Precisely. SEEDS is envisioned as one of these key data spaces. Participating effectively will demand high levels of interoperability based on standards like CIM, but also strong mechanisms for data sovereignty, ensuring data owners retain control over how their data is used when shared. It's a fundamental shift towards a more interconnected, but also more controlled, digital energy market.
So does organizing data to be standards compliant now, using things like CIM and knowledge graphs, strategically position TSOs to actually participate in these future ecosystems? Does it give them a head start?
It absolutely does. It's not just good internal practice. It's strategic positioning. Adopting architectures that align with concepts like the International Data Spaces, IDS, or GIAX principles means you're building the capability for sovereign, secure, and policy-compliant data sharing.
What does data space ready really mean then?
It means having clear, standardized APIs for data access, yes, but also having the technical means to enforce data usage policies automatically, ensuring that when data is shared, the owner's rules travel with it and are respected. It's about enabling controlled sharing, not just open access.
And looking even further ahead, thinking about regulations that are still emerging, like the EU AI Act, how do TSOs best future-proof themselves for that, given it will likely require significant transparency around AI?
Well, the good news is that by maintaining excellent data governance, now doing all the things we've discussed, like lineage tracking, comprehensive documentation, rigorous quality control TSOs, will be incredibly well-prepared to meet those future requirements.
So good practice now pays off later.
Absolutely. They'll be ready to explain AI decisions, audit the data used for training, and demonstrate compliance. Also, just complying thoroughly with existing sector-specific regulations from ENTSO or National Grid Codes, which already demand a degree of data transparency, is key preparation. This proactive approach turns potential future compliance burdens into current strategic advantages.
So the really big takeaway here for you, our listener, is that compliance is not an afterthought. It has to be an integral part of the entire data lifecycle for TSOs. Achieving interoperability and unlocking the value of AI must go hand in hand with ensuring privacy, security, and trust. That's how you build confidence in the ongoing digital transformation of our energy system. So let's quickly recap the core actionable best practices we've unpacked for TSOs aiming to be AI ready. First, adopt those industry standard data models, CIM, CGMES, create that common language.
Absolutely essential baseline.
Second, implement robust data governance, ideally using a knowledge graph as that central intelligence layer to connect everything.
Right, for context and discoverability.
Third, leverage a smart hybrid data architecture, like that Lakehouse Mesh combo, for flexibility and scalability.
Balancing central needs with domain expertise.
Fourth, consciously optimize all of this data quality features metadata specifically for AI readiness and interpretability,
making it truly usable for machine learning.
And finally, embed privacy and security right from day one. Security by design, privacy by design.
Non-negotiable foundations. It really is a comprehensive approach to data organization, isn't it? Moving far beyond just collecting and storing information, it's about making data intelligent, connected, and actionable.
So think about how this foundational work, this structured approach, will allow TSOs to much more quickly integrate the next wave of cutting-edge innovations. Everything from AI-driven predictive maintenance preventing outages, to dynamic real-time grid management responding instantly to renewables, maybe even more sophisticated energy trading.
It really unlocks the potential for a truly intelligent and resilient energy system, benefiting everyone.
So the final thought for you to mull over is this. What new possibilities truly emerge when every single piece of energy data genuinely speaks the same language, is deeply contextualized, and fully ready for the complex algorithms of tomorrow? What does that future look like?